Welcome back to A Time for Change. Continuing our look now at the cost of war in Afghanistan. Over the last 20 years, tens of thousands of Afghan nationals have worked with the U.S. government in Afghanistan, many as interpreters, and now their lives are very much on the line, especially with the Taliban saying today it will block all Afghans from the Kabul airport.
Our next guest is working to help bring some of those Afghan people to safety. His name is Charlie Reeder. He served two tours in Afghanistan with the Marines and returned once as a defense contractor. Now, Charlie, I hear that your own interpreter is still in Afghanistan. Tell us about him and efforts that you're making to try to bring him to safety.
Yes, absolutely. He's still over there. You know, he's somebody that that I served with back in around 2012 and sort of kept in contact over the years, and found out that his application had been denied recently as of 2019. And we you know, tried to get him through the process again. And, you know, with the current change over to the Taliban, it was even more important to get him out as soon as possible. So for the past week, we've been fighting, trying to get him through every checkpoint we can at the airport. However, as the week progresses, it's becoming increasingly harder to do so. And unfortunately, last night, we were able to get him through to a safe location that was controlled by the British and the Americans. And once he was in, they noticed that his visa application was still in process, has not been approved yet by the State Department. And the very same Marines that he'd been serving for the past 17 years kicked him out of that facility. So now he is back out in the city on his own.
So Charlie, tell us some of the things you're doing. I know you're working with a number of groups to try to get these people out of Afghanistan. Tell us about those efforts and how people hearing this interview might be able to help support those efforts.
Sure. So we've been working a program, what's been called the Digital Dunkirk. So we are a collection of veterans, civilians, people in the military, in defense agencies and around the world that are trying to essentially get as many of the interpreters and those who have helped us overseas in Afghanistan out as soon as possible. And, you know, we've been coordinating between each group, trying to find exfil routes for them out of the city or to the airports, or just trying to push as hard as we can to get their paperwork through and approved by the State Department. For those who are wanting to help, the best thing you can do is hound your congressmen, hound your elected officials. Don't let them get a moment's rest while this is still going on. We only have a few short days until the drop dead time that was put in place by this administration. And if that's allowed to continue and go through, then these people will be in a really dire situation.
Charlie, looking back, the war in Afghanistan, was it worth it for you, for Afghanistan, and for the U.S.?
You know, that's a really hard question to answer. And it's one that I've definitely been struggling with for the past couple of days, for this entire week. You know, if I told myself if we can get through as many people as possible, then yeah, it would be worth it, at least getting the people out that put everything on the line to help us accomplish our mission overseas. If we get them home, great. Then I will, you know, have some form of accomplishment for our time served there. If not, this is getting even worse than what it was before we even showed up. And, you know, the entire Afghan government's completely dismantled and it's going to be taken back over by the Taliban. So we're right back to square one.
Charlie, first of all, I want to thank you for your service to this country, having served two tours from 2006 to 10 and then going back as a contractor during this war. Talk to us about what you would tell our U.S. government if President Biden were to give you 5 minutes. What would you say to him as he considers whether or not to withdraw all troops by that August 31st deadline?
I'd say you can't do it. You are going to literally put these people on a death sentence if you do that. If you do not extend that deadline and actually work and get all these people out, push the Taliban out of Kabul while you do it, so everyone has a safe passage to the airports and get home, get back to wherever they want to go, whether it's, you know, the United States or somewhere else in the world, just getting out of there. for what they've done for us, you know, you can't abandon them. You know, I mean, they've put in some, you know, 20 years worth of service. If you were in the military and did 20 years, you'd be looking at retirement and a pension. And, you know, we can't even promise them safety. So if you actually want to save these people, you cannot allow this deadline to expire.
Charlie, you said your former interpreter is on his own right now. What kind of danger is he in? What's his life like right now in Afghanistan?
He's in extreme danger. They are actively hunting him. He's had to move locations around 10 to 12 different times. They've harassed his family members, and you know his family has suffered multiple assaults since this week has began. And he's not the only one. They have actual groups that are going around door to door hunting these people. You know, they have access to some of our equipment that we left behind, including our biometrics. So it's real easy for them to figure out who's been helping us for the past 20 years. And, you know, recently, early this week, one of the other Terps that we had recently started working with was shot and killed in his own house because of it.
What else can you tell us about your time spent there and what it was like dealing with the Taliban? We're just trying to get a sense of what people's lives are like right now while they're trying to flee.
I mean, my time there, you know, I thought Afghanistan was one of the most beautiful countries I'd ever seen. It was absolutely gorgeous. The people there are extremely friendly. Some of the most humble, honorable people you'll ever meet. And so to see them go through this is absolutely heartbreaking. You know, it's not a fate that they deserve. And, you know, nobody likes the Taliban over there. They want them out just as much as we do. And, you know, they've been fighting with us for 20 years to do so, and to just abandon them at the last minute is again, like I said, heartbreaking. I mean, if you ask any veteran who served over there, you know, if we left, would they still be able to stand on their own? You would probably get an answer of probably not. And we knew that once the U.S. pulled out, it would probably go back to Taliban control. We just, you know, no one expected that fast.
Charlie, many vets are angry and upset at how this withdrawal happened, but polls show that the majority of Americans support the withdrawal of troops from the country. How do you feel about how most Americans view this troop withdrawal or the need to have it?
I understand their need to have it and why they want this war to finally be over. It's been 20 years. It's been a drain on everyone emotionally, physically, and financially to continue to do this. And it's cost the lives of, you know, thousands of Americans, tens of thousands of Afghans, and hasn't really accomplished much at the end of the day. So in any civilian's eyes, why would we continue to keep fighting this? You know, me and many other vets are of the opposite opinion that, you know, we still need to continue to fight in Afghanistan and make sure that country is secure. Sometimes that looks like nation building, and in a sense, yes, it is. But you can't pound a country into a ground for 20 years and then leave and say it's your problem now. You just can't do that. You know, nobody will ever trust us again if that's what we do.
Many complex issues there, both for Afghanistan and for the U.S. Charlie Weeder, great to have you on. Thanks so much.